clock and working 9 to 5. We're talking about working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great stewards of the land. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO. Current temperatures 37 degrees. We have a wind chill factor 27 degrees. Humidity is now 90%, and the winds are out of the north northwest at 20 miles an hour, gusting up to 25 to 30, and that humidity is a great thing to see because currently it is raining here in Elk City and other areas. My wife texts me, so I know it's raining over south of Sayre, but man, let's just get the show started with what started yesterday up around Crawford and Durham. And our hearts go out for all those people that were affected. I think their estimation is 30,000 acres. And it's not out yet, but I think this rain shower come through that Ouachita Valley through there. The fire switched directions this morning around 6 a.m. Headed back down the state line towards Raiden. But these snow shower and rain shower, I think, really helped the firefighters get on them. They had released some of the firefighters and then they called them back when it jumped ship, I guess, down there on the state line somewhere in reverse direction. So, man, I just don't know what to say. We feel for you, and you got our prayers and thoughts, and really a lot of thoughts and prayers need to go out to Charlie and June Hartley. They live there in Antelope Hills, and they lost their home. And so, send out some thoughts and prayers. And a big shout out, big thank you to the Hitching Post at Durham for providing anything the firefighters needed, water, food. I noticed on their Facebook page this morning, they put out a post, breakfast was ready for firefighters. So Robin Taylor, she owns and operates the Hitching Posts there at 33 and 30 Highway. I ate there many a times or got something there when I was working across state line in Texas, fracking wells over there for Apache, and a great place. So next time you're driving by there and you got to stop, make sure you give them a big thank you for doing that. And then huge thank you to all the firefighters. They was coming from Woodward, Dewey, Custer, Beckham, Roger Mills, Ellis, across state line from Texas. I had a call last night from Chad Ripitoe. They had a unit up there from Carter. And so I know everybody was pitching in to help them. That was a big fire. That was a nasty one. You people haven't been up in that area. That's big country there. Nothing to stop it. And if somebody, we don't know exactly how much livestock has been lost. We know there's a home lost. There's lots of equipment been burned up. You look at all the pictures on Facebook. Lots of equipment has been burned up. And Valcaster and Amy was on there on Channel 9. And they let four or five steers or heifers through some gates there. And if you watched in the background there, there was a big fire going on in there and in the background, and you could hear Amy going, hurry up, you know. You just, it's that fire is wicked. But also there in Raiden, Tweet's Hilltop Cafe in Raiden was helping out also, and I'm sure Pack Saddle Bar was helping out. Marcus Thibodeau, he was out. He said he went out at 3:30 yesterday and texted me this morning about 8:30, and he was still out. And so I'm sure the pack said, I bet there was just a lot of people up there helping out. So when we get some exact damages and cattle loss, fences, If anybody's got anything they want to donate to take up there, let me know on the show, and I'll find a way of getting it delivered up there. Fencing materials, hay, anything you want to send up there, a pallet of cake, anything, those guys can use it because there's a lot of cattle in that country, so I'm sure there was some losses going on or there's nothing left to eat. And so if you got something in that sandy country, I'm sure it's going to be blowing when this stuff dries out. But hopefully we get some more rain Friday, and hopefully next week we got more and more chances of rain. We just need it for it to happen. But seriously, if anybody's got anything that they want to donate to send that direction, I will let you I'll get you a way to get it up there if I got to take it up there myself. So got some texts coming in. Nina Phillips lost her barn in the fire. Val and Amy were helping and filming until the Roger Mills sheriff acted like, well, anyway, but we got that going on. And then a gentleman here said he was in a tanker at the hitching post all night, had to go home to go to work at 6 a.m. So anyway, we'll get that going. Well, I have some people coming on here from K-State here after this first break. Professor O'Quinn and one of his students is going to be coming on here to talk about some experiments they were doing with some meat, ribeyes, and fillets and stuff like that. Is he's really interesting people to listen to. So you guys don't go anywhere, and then we'll be right back after this. It's Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO.
If you're a farmer or rancher, you rely on a business that can help you get the things you need fast so you can get back to work. Everett's Welding and Repair in Bisai, Oklahoma is that business. They carry farm equipment, oil-filled cattle guards, and fencing supplies. How about a cattle chute or hay trailer? They've got them. You need welding supplies? They've got that too. Learn more at everettswelding.com or see their ad inside the Penny News. That's Everett's Welding and Repair in Bisai, Oklahoma.
Is being an agent for Farm Bureau Insurance similar to farming in a sense?
Oh, very much so. You know, I think you've heard me say all the time, I'm available anytime. And I think in the farming world, you're available anytime. You know, you work long hours. You don't ever know what you're going to be doing the next day. You may wake up in the morning and think, I'm going to go plow, and someone calls and says, hey, your cows are out. And insurance is that way a lot. You know, I may come to the office and think, well, today I've got to get this done, and a storm hits the night before and your gears change and you're taking care of your customers. Farm work is hard. You know, people talk about, you know, farming and crops and things like that. That's a gamble. You know, we do crop insurance here, and I try to help secure their assets on that part of it. So that's just another phase of what we do to try to help our farming community. I'm Mickey Lively with Oklahoma Farm Bureau. My office is located in Greer County. Call me anytime at 580-782-3827.
Life insurance and annuity products offered through Farm Bureau Life Insurance Company. Property and casualty products are offered through Oklahoma Farm Bureau Mutual Insurance and affiliated companies.
Red Angus offers superior marbling. One of the top breeds for marbling, yes.
If a steak has marbling, it means what?
It's going to be tender and it's going to taste good.
That's where the flavor comes. That's right. Where the tenderness comes, right?
Yes. Good steak. Benji White, B&L Red Angus. BLRedAngus.com on Facebook. Follow us at B&L Red Angus.
Lori White, B&L Red Angus. BLRedAngus.com. You can find us on Facebook by searching B&L Red Angus.
We've been part of Western Oklahoma's ag industry since statehood. I'm Marty Maddox from Great Plains Bank in Elk City. We proudly support our local FFA labor auctions and premium sales. Our local lenders have a combined 127 years of banking experience. We handle all ag-related loans, like land purchases, farm operating loans, and stocker lines of credit. And we recently helped over 700 area farmers and ranchers with their PPP loans. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend agriculture a helping hand. Member FDIC.
Today in Ag is back with Jimmy Clark.
All right, welcome back. Sorry, I'm a little hoarse today. I forgot my allergy medicine at home. 37 degrees, wind chill still 26 now. Northwest winds 23 to 32. And I will have the Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast for you here in just two more sets of talking. But on the phone with me right now, from Manhattan, Kansas, is Travis O'Quinn. He's associate professor for the Department of Animal Science and Industry at K-State. How's the Wildcats doing up there?
Oh, we're doing great.
Are you? Good. Yeah, when I lived in Kansas City, my daughter wore an OU hoodie and a K-State cap. So she was torn between the both of them. So anyway, but now I got a lot of good friends up there in Kansas. So, well, welcome to the show. Tell everybody a little bit about yourself, sir.
Yeah, no, so I'm an associate professor here in the Department of Animal Science at Kansas State University. I've been here for about 8 years. I'm one of our meat scientists. I stay pretty busy teaching classes here related to all aspects of meat science. I also serve as a coach of the Kansas State meat judging team and meat animal evaluation teams. And then my research activities really revolve around beef eating quality and anything we can do to make a steak taste better to consumers.
Have you figured out how to do that yet? I mean, you got her down to science yet?
Well, there's lots of things that go into that, and we're going to get to talk about some of them today. But certainly that's a challenge, that everything we can do to try to make beef taste better for consumers results in more profit for producers out there, and certainly results on better, happy, satisfied customers when they purchase steaks at retail or at food service.
Well, that's a big amen there, because that's the thing. You know, the producers need to make they just need to make money, but they also, you know, the number one person to make happy is that consumer. And that study you guys did that I read about last month, you want to go into some details on that study?
Yeah, absolutely. So one of the things that kind of came across us that caught our attention is that as we've kind of moved into this space where we have a lot of consumers that are kind of in this foodie culture, right? They like seeing things that they can take great pictures for Instagram on their plate of their eating experience. And so beef plays a big central role in that a lot of the time. When you talk about really good plate appearance, one of the things that a lot of consumers today are requesting is to have a bone that goes along with that. It's a lot prettier to put a picture of a nice T-bone with that T-shaped bone in the center than it might be the post of a boneless New York strip steak or something like that. Along with that, there's been a longstanding belief that these bones kind of really change the eating quality of the products. And so specifically, you know, both people believing that really drives and changes the flavor. I'm sure there's some of your listeners out there who have experienced that, whether that's going to a restaurant and them having a bone-in steak on their menu and getting told that, or even their own personal experience purchasing at home. And so for us, we wanted to be able to try to test this to see if that's actually something that is really there or if that's more just in people's heads. And so there's been no scientific studies done to evaluate that, and we were looking to try to evaluate that from our end.
And how did that turn out?
Yeah, so what we did is that we brought in, what I do is a lot of consumer-based research. So we have multiple ways that we can evaluate eating quality of beef products. I can have an expert panel of myself and a bunch of really highly qualified faculty and graduate students around here.
Yeah, I bet you guys hated this, didn't
well.
You? I bet you hated this test, didn't you?
Yeah, that's right, yeah. I really hate the test where we have, you know, prime New York strips and prime tenderloins on the panel. Those are always the worst ones to try to have to eat on.
Yeah.
But for this study, we did part of that, but the main thing that we do is we like to bring in consumers, just people off the street here in Manhattan, Kansas. We pay them $20. They come and eat steak for an hour, tell us about what they thought about the steak. You can imagine that we're really short and have a hard time recruiting people to do that. That most of the time is quite the opposite. We have a long waiting list of people that typically want to come and participate. And so what we did is we got about 120 people from the community. They came in. We served on these steaks. We actually had three different kinds of steaks that we evaluated here: beef ribeyes, New York strips, as well as tenderloin steaks. And we had both bone-in and boneless versions of each one of them. And our consumers came in. We didn't tell them anything about the study other than they're eating beef steaks. And then we cut those steaks into about half-inch size pieces. So all the consumer saw was the beef itself. They didn't get to see the presentation with the bone or anything. And then they've looked at all the traits that we care about that when you eat a steak at home you think are important, the tenderness, the juiciness, the flavor, and then for us, most importantly, overall what they thought about the steak. And so we found some really good results on the study. What the kind of to be able to summarize in just a couple of words is that there wasn't much difference within all those muscles. So when we looked at the bone-in versus boneless at each of the different muscles, there was really no differences. A couple places we had a small difference in juiciness for strip steaks for bone-in, but that was about it. And meaningful differences within that were pretty negligible across the whole study. So that was our big takeaway message, was that when we feed these to consumers and they're actually evaluating eating quality, the bone had absolutely nothing to do with what they thought about the eating quality of the product.
Interesting. Well, that's good. Well, I think really a lot of people just eat the T-bone so they got something to throw to Fido or Zoe after they get through eating. Is that correct?
That's right. And then if you go to some really nice white tablecloth steakhouses, what's really popular is the big tomahawk ribeye steaks where they leave the whole rib bone on there. I don't know if you've ever seen one of these, but
yes,
if you go to downtown Kansas City, they serve those all the time.
Yeah, I lived in Kansas City for 17, 18 years. Yeah, I've seen them. And only a few times could I afford to get one. So
that is right. That's another really good point on this, is that when we talk about how these are priced and some of the meaningful information from this, if you do go to a restaurant, purchasing a bone-in steak is typically more expensive than it is to purchase a boneless steak. And there's reasons for that when you talk about plating that and the challenges with managing it. But most of the time, that plate cost at a restaurant is quite a bit higher. Same thing when you're purchasing at retail. Conversely, if we were purchasing these meat products in from a packing facility, bone-in cuts are actually more inexpensive, so they're cheaper to purchase in bone-in products, but they get plated and sold at higher prices than the boneless alternatives. So that means that margin on those is a little bit higher for those bone-in products. So if I'm a consumer and I take the meaning from our study, if I go to a really nice steakhouse and I have the option of getting a bone-in versus boneless steak, I would save my money and get the boneless steak and get the same level of eating experience as I would if I did get the bone-in steak.
That's spot on. Yeah, and man, I mean, it's just something to get that T-bone with the T-bone steak in. I mean, it's just, I don't know, I guess you were raised that way, or I was raised that way, and when we got a T-bone, it was hog heaven at our house, you know what I mean? But the, you know, you get a ribeye or, you know, filet's always top of the line. But yeah, I see your point in that, and it was a great study, and it ought to wake up some people to go, okay, well, how about I save $10 on that steak and go ahead and just get that. Now, you call it a New York strip. I was in Kansas City long enough. I'm calling it a Kansas City strip.
That's right. Same cut, different name.
Yeah, same cut, different name. And, well, that was crazy. Well, next time you guys have a study, will you give me a call?
Yeah, absolutely. Always happy to get more people involved to taste for us.
Yeah, there was, as far as the taste test, it was just really dead even, correct?
More or less dead even. Like I said, a couple places where there might have been a really small difference, but certainly not one that I would expect that if we repeated the study or fed a bunch of people out again that they would be able to find. So we feel really good about our results showing that there's really no difference between them.
Well, if you guys are just joining me on the show with me today, I'm going to call him Professor Travis O'Quinn because he is an associate professor, Department of Animal Science and Industry at K-State University there in Manhattan, Kansas. And I love having people on here from K-State. You know, we have people from Texas A&M, Texas Tech, OSU, and Kansas State, because I'm a fan of it all, because it's, you guys are all ag related, and that's what this show's about.
No, yeah, I have good friends at all those universities. I myself actually went to Texas Tech for my bachelor's and master's degrees, and Colorado State for my PhD.
So where are you originally from?
I'm originally from right outside of Houston, Texas.
Oh, so you're a Texas guy. Cool. So are you a K-State fan or a Texas Longhorn fan?
Well, hey, I went to Texas Tech Tech, and I'm sure you have never been a Texas Longhorn fan. But, yeah, sir, I've been here at Kansas State long enough to, I don't think there's any red or black clothing left in my closet anywhere.
Really? Oh, I've got a lot of friends that went to Tech, and, you know, the Red Raiders, they're, you know, they're loyal people. You just drive across the state line over here, just west of here, to go play golf at Shamrock or something, and you would go in there and you would think, there is a few Longhorn fans, don't get me wrong, but it is Red Raider country right there.
In that is absolutely true.
Yeah, it's the heart of the deal. So you guys got anything else you're working on, or have you got anything that you've worked on here lately besides the taste test that you think the listeners would like to hear about?
Yeah, no, we just completed another really good study here. Again, most of the stuff I do is all related to beef eating quality, and so we did a 2 years ago. We did a big study with the Kansas Beef Council, evaluating some of these alternative proteins. So some of your listeners are probably familiar with Beyond Meat or Impossible. Those products that have come across. We've all seen the commercials on TV with the guy with the cowboy hat saying that the hamburger tasted the same as the beef hamburger, and so we did a study a couple years ago looking at whether or not that was really true or not. And we just did the same thing we did in this bone-in study. We just fed consumers these products blind. They told them they were eating a hamburger, and they just ate some of the product from there. And so found big differences there, that the ground beef was much preferred by the consumers over any of the alternative proteins that we evaluated. And so we did that study. Very different outcomes in terms of those products. There was nothing that we could do to get the alternative proteins to be similar to our regular ground beef. And so what we did this past year, we just finished this study up, was we wanted to see if that's great that when we fed it just as a hamburger patty that they came back as different, but that's really not the way most consumers consume those products. You know, those get consumed as a fully dressed hamburger or, you know, as a taco or something similar. So what we did is we redid that study, and instead of just feeding people the product itself, we actually used it as an ingredient. We let people make a hamburger as they normally would at home. So they added mustard and lettuce and ketchup to it and cheese. And then we also did it where they did tacos and they ate those products as added with cheese and lettuce and tomatoes, and so evaluated it like you would if you were actually eating it in the home or in a restaurant. And our results really mirrored the original results from the first study, that our ground beef was much preferred over any of the ground beef alternatives, with really none of the ground beef alternatives matching those in any way. They were unable to meet the level of eating satisfaction that our consumers got with the ground beef. So that was a study that's we're going to present some of those results with here at one of our research conferences this summer, and it was funded by the Beef Checkoff. So that's all dollars that have been by America's Beef Producers to help support research in this area. And so we're doing a good job to try to get all the information we can about those ground beef alternatives. They've really gained a lot of popularity, and we're wanting to really try to get some data on how beef compares. And good news for all the beef producers out there, that none of the data that we've generated has shown that any of those ground beef alternatives are anywhere close to the same level of eating quality as regular ground beef.
All I can say is amen. it's great, because I've tried some of it once, and that's it. I'm done. I'm not trying it again. And, you know, I ate enough dehydrated pork patties and hamburger patties and stuff in the military and their MREs that I'm done with that crap, and I'm going to eat the real thing. But that's great. But, you know, if you do that again to back up your first two theories, you should maybe, let's say, go Italian. Let's do some lasagna and let's do some spaghetti and maybe some, I don't know, some goulash and see what happens.
Oh, man, that would be a lot of, if we could keep going down the list and see. I guess based on the results of this study, I wouldn't expect anything to be too much different than, hey, guess what, those are different products and they don't taste anywhere close to the same.
Yeah, well, that's great. That's an awesome study. And I actually I seen somewhere last week when I was getting ready for the show or something, I go through all the ag websites looking for something, and somebody had brought up something. And matter of fact, there was a lady from South Dakota. I put it on my Facebook page this morning. She's a speaker, and she was listening to these guys talking about on this radio show about talking about the substitute meat and all this, and it's healthier than the regular beef and all this other stuff. And it was a split screen, and you could see her sitting there eating her medium rare T-bone steak. So it was pretty funny. So I posted that this morning. But yeah, I think it's going to be hard to sell the American consumer the I call it the fake stuff, but the alternative meat, if you want to call it. It's going to be hard to sell them because, you know, you look on, you check the beef check off and all those other deals, you know, imports and exports and all that stuff's up, but the American consumer is buying more beef right now than ever because, you know, what was that, 10, 15 years ago, they were talking about, you know, meat is not good for your health and blah, blah, blah. Well, they found out it's just the opposite, that it actually, the protein and the beef, and whether it's hamburger, steak, or whatever, is actually good for you.
Yeah, no, that's right on point. I think that one of the things that beef has historically maybe gotten a little bit of black eye on is the amount of saturated fat content that's in that. That's historically been what beef has been beaten up over. And, yeah, a lot of more recent research has really shined a light on the fact that maybe that's not as negative health consequence related as some of the beliefs from the 1970s and before, when some of those ideas first came to pass. And so there's a really good book out there, The Big Fat Surprise by Nina Teholtz, that goes into that, on how we got to our dietary guidelines and how fat in the diet had really became a negative, and the beef industry was squarely in the crosshairs of some of that throughout the last half century. And so we've seen a shift in that as we've gotten more data, that's more contemporary data, that's maybe reevaluated some of those prior assumptions that are proving, hey, that's not really the case.
Well, you keep in mind, you have my email, so you have another study come up and you guys finish it or something and you would like to come back on the show, don't be bashful about emailing me. And I'd love to have you guys on because what we're doing around here have been since we started the show here, you know, at times, you know, COVID kind of woke people up a little bit, like, you know, you can't go to the grocery store, they're out of this, they're out of that. So I kind of push, I push the deal about buying local beef from local ranchers and farmers and having it processed locally. And we have more processors available now because of COVID, which is a good deal. We needed it. But, you know, buying the, right off the ranch that's been fed and the whole nine yards, it just don't get any better than that when it comes to taste.
Yeah, happy to come back on and visit. I'm actually part of a research team here at Kansas State that's working in the state of Kansas on that very topic, to see what we can do to help both consumers and producers that are interested in doing some direct marketing to consumers with beef products in the state. So I'm happy to come back on here in a few months after we're a little bit further along to discuss that with you.
Oh, that'd be great. I mean, because like I said, my listeners probably get tired of it, but it's true. I mean, you know, with all this stuff going on with the big four packers and all that crap that I don't want to get into, you know, you can solve it. You know, not everybody has a freezer, and I realize that. And I got friends that owns grocery stores around here and stuff. And there's a certain percentage of that crowd that loves to get their beef, you know, put it in the freezer. They don't have to go shopping for it. And one of my buddies, it's a rancher over between Canute and Foss. He sold some beef to some people down there in Dallas, Texas. And he said that guy called back complaining because he said his wife won't go out and eat now. They got to eat at home because that stuff's so good. And so that's just an awesome deal. And, yeah, that would be great. When you get that study done, I would love for you to have you back on.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, Professor O'Quinn, thank you so much for coming on, and that was really interesting about your studies.
All right, thanks.
All right, you have a great day.
All right.
Bye. Well, we'll be right back after this on Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO.
This is the Elk City Livestock Auction Market Report for Friday, March 25th. 1,230 head were sold. 6 head of steers at 393 brought 207. 4 at 505 brought 186. 23 at 557 brought 188.50. 5 at 636 brought 164.50. 4 at 795 brought 151. 4 head of heifers at 309 brought 184. 3 at 477 brought 151. 16 at 614 brought 154. 19 at 858 brought 129.25. 6 at 1036 brought 115.50. Butcher cows were 40 to 103. Butcher bulls brought 48 to 132. Bread cows were 850 to 1585. Pairs brought 600 to 1775. Elk City Livestock Auction, 3202 South Highway 6, Elk City, Oklahoma. Sale every Friday at 9 a.m. To consign, call Brandon Hickey at 580-497-6095.
It's known as the thief in the night. A lack of cattle mineral can lead to decreased weaning weights, small, weak calves, and severely compromised health. Don't let a gap in your feeding program rob your herd's performance. Stop by Farmers Union Co-op in Elk City and pick up a bag of Purina Wind and Rain Storm Mineral today. Farmers Union Co-op of Elk City is your authorized Purina dealer.
I've seen a lot of industries come and go. The ag sector is a basis for Western Oklahoma. We do ag real estate, cattle loans, crop loans, to purchase cows or to purchase stalkers for wheat or grass. We do operating loans for seasonal needs, to buy feed, purchase fertilizer, purchase seed, buy hay and feed for the winter. I'm Monty Carlson, and I help make a difference at First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre.
Member FDIC.
Mosey on down to Hobart Stockyard's weekly cattle sale. It's located on Highway 183 North in Hobart, Oklahoma. The sale is every Wednesday at 9:30. If you need to consign, call Rex Fleming at 580-331-8547. They receive cattle all day Mondays and Tuesdays. Buyers can bid in person or online. Hobart Stockyards, where we want your business and do appreciate it.
The Day in Ag is back with Jimmy Clark.
All right. Well, let's get started on the grain reports. Looks like oil's creeping back up. That's not cool. It's up a couple of dollars. It's 106 something West Texas a barrel in West Texas. I'm in. All right. Live cattle are down slightly. April 140.10. June 138.05. August 138.52. October 144.97. It's actually up just a hair. Feeder cattle are down. March 155.95. April 163.70. Lean hogs are down again today. April 104.47. May 116.45. June 123.90. Let's go to the Oklahoma cash grain prices. And right now, in Oklahoma, hard red winter wheat is up slightly, 9.83 a bushel. Corn is 7.40 a bushel. Milo 7.08 a bushel, and soybeans are 15.76. And darn it, I got to go back to that other page to get the cotton. I forgot the cotton. I can't never forget the cotton. Here we go, one more. Sorry about this. Not that I wasn't ready. I just. Cotton is down. It's at 136.81, so it's down, but not much. Anyway, it's up there high. I got to get some of my cotton buddies in here on the show and tell me what's going on with that. But grain futures were mixed while soybeans turned higher in overnight session on the Chicago Board of Trade. Investors were watching developments, of course, between Russia and Ukraine as talks between the countries continue. However, little headway was made. Russian officials have downplayed any talks, saying there was little progress, while Ukraine's military has said Russians hasn't eased its attacks despite promises to do so, according to media reports. The Ukrainian president said he will not reduce efforts to repel Russia, and the United States President Joe Biden and Western countries said shouldn't trust any Russian promises. The Ukrainian president wants more sanctions against Russia and said the port city of Mariupol has been completely destroyed, according to the reports. The United Nations now estimates that more than 4 million people have fled Ukraine since the Russian attack started 35 days ago. Corn futures also may be rising as dry weather stresses Brazil's second corn crop. Dry weather is expected to stress about 15% of the crop in the country's northeastern growing areas. Heavy rains may cause flooding on about 15% of the southern Brazil growing areas next week. In Argentina, corn and soybeans likely will see limited rain in the next 2 weeks, but showers in the northern quarter are growing with limited stress. Wheat for May delivery lost 7.5 cents, $10.06 a bushel overnight on the Chicago Board of Trade, while Kansas City futures fell 6 cents to $10.18 a bushel. Corn futures rose 6 cents to $7.32 a bushel. Soybean futures for May delivery rose 5.75 cents to $16.48 a bushel. Soy meal was up $2.50 to $4.68.50 a short ton. And soybean oil futures added 0.28 cents to 71.94 cents a pound. Beef in cold storage as of March 28th rose to 532.5 million pounds, up from 525.7 million a month earlier, according to the USDA in its updated report yesterday. Pork stocks this month rose to 480.4 million pounds, and that's up from the 434.4 million pounds last month. Broiler inventories in March are now at 744.7 million pounds. That's up from 734.7 million pounds the previous month. Turkey in cold storage is at 295.6 million pounds, and that's up from 243.8 million pounds. They're getting ready for Christmas and Thanksgiving. U.S. red meat production in February fell month to month as pork and beef output both declined, according to the Ag Department. Total production dropped to 4.43 billion pounds last month from 4.56 billion in January. Beef output in February was reported at 2.25 billion pounds, and that's down from 2.27 billion the last month. Pork production also was lower, falling to 2.17 billion pounds, and that's down from 2.28 billion pounds the previous month. Cattle slaughter slowed as well, with a total of 2.69 million head killed in February. That's down from 2.7 million in January. Hog slaughter was reported at 9.94 million head, and that's down from 10.4 million pounds the month earlier. In January and February, however, processors slaughtered 5.39 million head of cattle. That's up from 5.27 million head during the same period time frame a year ago. Hog slaughter in the first 2 months of the year totaled 20.4 million head, and that's down from 21.7 million head a year earlier. So there's your update on the pounds. It's in storage and the whole nine yards. And take this bird flu, this HPAIA, whatever it's called. I don't have it in front of me, so I hope I got those abbreviations right. Take that stuff serious. There was a Wisconsin egg farm put down 200 and something thousand chickens yesterday, or 2.25 million, or I'm pretty sure it's 225,000 chickens yesterday. Had to put them down. They was infected. So take it serious. Even if you're just the guy with the three chickens in the backyard chasing the cats around, they can get it too. So anyway, do your homework on this stuff and try to prevent it as much as you can. There's no medicine out there for it. You just got to take care of your birds. Well, I'll be right back after this with the Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger Forecast. It's Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO.
From sunup till sundown, we know your irrigation equipment needs to be as hardworking as you, because we all know a farmer's job is never done. Valley is your strength in the field. We're the Everyman brand. No matter your operational setup, we have the irrigation equipment and technology to move you forward. Valley products are built to last, easy to operate, and ahead of the curve. Durable, reliable, and built tough. This is Valley.
Contact your local Valley dealer, Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325, or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com.
Great news, folks. Ron Hayes here to let you know SEI Agritech in Elk City is now your livestock nutrition center dealer. This is better quality feed and minerals for your cattle, horses, sheep, and goats. Plus, at SEI Agritech, you can buy everything from bulk to 50-pound bags. Call or go see SEI Agritech today about your feed and mineral needs. Their number, 580-225-0317. 580-225-0317. Better feed, better results.
This is Jerry Nine, owner of the Woodward Livestock Auction for sale this Thursday, March 31st. We're expecting 3,000 cattle. We'll start the auction 8 a.m. Lots of nice thin grazing cattle from Davis, Oklahoma. Got 30 steers and heifers at 4. They're long wean. Slap out got 150 steers at 6. Long wean by size 70 heifers at 15 steers, 5 to 6. Thomas got 47 heifers, 7.5 Freedom, 41 steers, 7 to 8. Chattuck, 57 heifers, 5 to 6. Woodward got 34 steers at 8. Davis, Oklahoma, 216 steers, 5.5 to 6. Long wean, follow up, 48 steers and heifers at 6. Umbarger, Texas, 102 steers, 5 to 550. Eldorado, Oklahoma, 158 steers, 8 to 8.5. Kingfisher, 106 steers, 7 to 9. Gage, 23 steers at 9. Moreland, 114 heifers at 7. Winoka got 55 heifers at 8. Panhandle, Texas, 188 mixed cattle, 7.5. Fort Supply, 130 steers, 8 to 9. Diamond, 34 heifers, 7.5. Wheeler, Texas, 37 heifers at 6. And Woodward, 83 steers and heifers, 5 to 6. Again, we're expecting 3,000 cattle with lots of nice thin grazing cattle. Remember our special cow and bull sale. That's Tuesday, April the 12th. Take a picture of them. We'll put them in the TV in the hallway or put it on Facebook. Thanks again, Jerry Nine and the Woodward Livestock Auction.
This hour's weather brought to you by Hobart Farm and Garden. Complete nutrition for every animal. That's what you'll find in Hi-Pro Feeds. At Hi-Pro, their commitment to nutrition is unwavering. Buy the best and get the most out of every animal. Hobart Farm and Garden in Hobart, Oklahoma is your local Hi-Pro Feeds dealer. Providing quality feeds in bulk, bags, or sacks. See their ad in the Penny News and check them out on Facebook. See all they have to offer at HobartFarmAndGarden.com. That's HobartFarmAndGarden.com.
Jim is all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
-42 degrees, wind chills 33, winds are out of the north at northwest at 20 miles an hour, wind gusts 25 miles an hour. Today, obviously, we know it's going to be breezy. It's 58 for a high, and I think it's going to have to hurry to get up to 58 degrees with winds out of the northwest at 26 to 29 miles an hour with gusts up to 35 and 40. Tonight, 36 degrees. The winds calm down a little bit. Be out of the northwest, 7 to 17 miles an hour. Tomorrow, mostly sunny, 64 degrees. Northwest winds, 9 to 16 miles an hour. Tomorrow night, 38 degrees. Friday, 20% chance of thunderstorms, high around 71. South winds, 7 to 21 miles an hour. Friday night, it's going to be, the winds are going to shift, and we will be out of there, 30% chance of rain. And then Saturday, we have 70 degrees. Sunday, 79. So we're back in the deal. Well, I got some results here from the Woodward Livestock Auction yesterday, the regular cow sale. Actually, they had a big sale yesterday compared to what the last couple weeks. 916 heads sold. Breaker cows were bringing anywhere from 86 cents to $92 per hundred weight. Boner cows were bringing anywhere from 75 cents to $89.50 per hundred weight. And the lean cows were bringing anywhere from 60 to 84 cents. So not bad on the lean cows. Bulls were bringing anywhere from 110 to 119. And stock cows, let's pass that. Bred cows, 2 to 4 year olds were bringing up to 1125. 5 to 8 year olds we're bringing up to $12.50. Some more 2 to 4 year olds are $13.50, and basically anywhere from $960 to $1,350 for 2 to 4 year olds and 5 to 8 year old cows. Well, and I take that back. The O cows, you see the O tag in them at the sale barn, they were bringing $950. That was the older cows. Cow-calf pairs, mediums with 150-pound calves on them, 2 to 4 year olds were bringing up to $1,460. Five to eight year olds with 150-pound calves on them were bringing $1,560. On the cow-calf pairs, on the 150 to 300-pound calves on them, 2 to 4 year olds was bringing up to $1,350, and 5 to 8 year olds was bringing up to $1,350. And they had some selling there. It looked like they must have been some prime cow-calf pairs. 2 to 4 year olds, heavy, a little bit heavier weight, 1,200-pounders, brought $1,710. And tomorrow, Woodward will be having their weekly calf sale going on right now. And Hobart is at the Hobart Stockyards. They're having their sale right now. Friday, Elk City will be having theirs. Saturday, Hollis will be having theirs down there in Harmon County. And then Monday, the Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction will be having their deal. Well, I got a text that I want to read to you guys. And the major from Cooperton, he texted in, he says, not sure if you watch Market to Market. It is an agriculture marketing show by the Iowa Public Television, and I don't. Sorry, I don't watch that much TV. Last week's show discussed that a barbecue establishment in Kansas City recommends to all of its customers as they enter the store to purchase chicken or pork instead of beef. While the panel laughed it off, the major says, I'm afraid that other meat options will become a bigger threat to beef versus plant-based meat. And then he also texts back and he said, and they did say that it was doing it because of the price of beef. So anyway, that was an interesting deal. So anyway, the great white turkey man from up north at Pack Saddle Bar, he texted in to me and said, he's home. He'd been out. The fire started at 3:30 yesterday at Durham and Crawford, and he just now got in, and he told me thanks for checking on him. So I was worried about him. But Monty Tucker texted in to me, and I think this might be the same lady that lost her barn. Says, does anybody have 2 hay bales? All mine burned in the fire, and I have to build fence before I can turn my cows out. I can pay for it. If there's anyone has any, my phone number is 580-660-1698. She needs 2 bales of hay. She was in the fire up by Crawford. So if any of my listeners can help out, let me know here on a text line. If not, when I get off work here, I'll go home, get my farm truck and grab some hay and take up their tour. But surely somebody closer to her can help her out. Man, it would be a great help. Nina Phillips, 580-660-1698. So if somebody could really help that lady out, it sounds like she's got the cows in the lot or the barn trying to keep them in for that, doing all that deal there. So anyway, many thanks to all the firefighters and task force who have come to help put out fires in Roger Mills County. I don't know. Just remember, donations for supply and diesel are deeply appreciated up there. They really do need some help up there. A lot of people lost their fences. You know, those fences got trashed. That fire was hot and moving. So, like I said, anybody's got anything to take up there and they can't find something, some way to get it up there, you let me know here at the radio station. Well, I'll get her did. We'll figure it out. Well, one more thing on Cow-Calf Corner. Your 2022 spring replacement heifer management considerations. This comes from Mr. Johnson, Mark Z, up there at OSU, Extension Beef Cattle Breeding Specialist. With much of Oklahoma in various degrees of drought over the past several months, winter grazing has been generally poor for most of our state this year. If you are selecting yearling heifers as replacements for the cow herd, there are several things you need to keep in mind. Typical best management goal for development of replacement heifers is to have them at 65% of the mature weight by 14 to 15 months of age. Research indicates 90% or more of the heifers reaching this goal will be cycling at the beginning of the breeding season and on target to calve at 2 years of age. Research also indicates that if heifers are at 55% of their mature weight by 14 to 15 months of age, only half will be cycling. If this is a situation you find yourself in right now, and your planned breeding season is in the near future, which a lot of people's spring breeding season is coming up pretty quick, adjust your rate of heifer retention up accordingly. Preg check heifers as soon as possible after pulling bulls and market the open heifers as yearlings this summer. If your heifers are behind on weight right now and your breeding season is still 30 to 60 days away, there's still time to catch them up. Previous research indicates heifers gaining approximately only a half a pound a day for the first 150 days post-weaning can be fed to gain 2.5 pounds a day for 45 to 60 days immediately prior to breeding season to meet target weight and still have optimum breeding performance. Recent rains have added to the possibility this still could be done on cool season grass pastures. Not around here, not right now. But anyway, regardless of how you plan to feed heifers to get them to target weight, your feeding program will be more cost-effectively, typically adding an additional 0.1 to 0.2 pound gain per day. Fertility is very financially important in cow-calf operations for spring calving herds. Now is the time to implement management process practices to keep heifers on track to calve at two and to prime to be more productive cattle. There you have it. Well, anyway, I got one more deal I've been just dying to talk about. Let's see here. It's too long. I'm going to do it tomorrow. Anyway, I'll do one more deal here. Biden's proposed ag budget focuses on climate. This is what I've been afraid of all along. President Joe Biden's released an agriculture budget top line at $31.3 billion, an estimated $2.6 billion increase in fiscal year 22, and active funding levels as part of the budget proposal unveiled Monday. A USDA official outlined that the budget proposal's balances are a variety of needs, including climate. I knew that was coming in here. Climate, nutrition, more and better markets, equity, and reinforcing improved forest management. During a media call Monday morning, the USDA budget official outlined that the budget proposal is in line with where the administration has been trying to go in terms of building a better America, reducing the deficit, reducing costs for families, and growing the economy. A statement from the Secretary of Agriculture, Tom Vilsack, notes that the budget proposal contains transformational investments that will help rural communities build back resilience to the climate crisis, increase landscape resiliency and to the impacts of climate change, and create more and better markets for our hardworking producers, bolster access to healthy and affordable nutrition for families, help connect all the Americas to the high-speed, affordable, and reliable internet. So there you go. That's what's happening. A new climate was going to be in there. Climate is changing, but what are we going to do about it? President ain't going to change it by himself. So, guys, keep those people in the Crawford-Durham Farm fire in your hearts. So it's Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO. God bless.
It's on. It's on.